Okay, so in the parsha, the parsha says, talks about Kabbalah Satorah, the lead up to Kabbalah Satorah. So it says, "Vayizyatzvu b'tachtis ahar." The Klal Yisrael stood; they were standing by the bottom of the mountain. It's a famous Gemara in Shabbos, everybody's familiar with, that Hashem held the mountain over our heads, threatened us. If we're going to accept the Torah, okay. And if we're not going to accept the Torah, this is going to be our burial place. That would be the end of Klal Yisrael. Right, Tosus over there, this is in Shabbos Peches, Tosus asks why Hashem had to do that. Hare, we had already said Nasa Benishma, Klal Yisrael had already expressed their willingness, their desire to accept the Torah. What was the need for this seeming compulsion? Hare, we had already accepted it. So Tosus says that there was a concern that even though we had already said Nasa Benishma, because of all the fire, all the smoke, it was a scary, awe-inducing situation over there, maybe we would change our minds, maybe we'd be chosen from it. Hashem wanted to make sure we didn't change our minds. That's what Tosu says. There's a Medrash Tanchuma we mentioned in last week's Shmuz. The Medrash Tanchuma says that it's two different things. Nasa v'nishma is talking about Torah Shebichtav. The Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, we had said Nasa v'nishma. The Torah Shebaal Peh, Klal Yisrael understood, involves a lot more immersion, a lot more toil. There's a lot of hard work in Torah Shebichtav. There's a Bikivagar, there's Hasponos, Lishnakama, Lishnabasra, Talmud. It's a whole balagan. The Torah Shebaal Peh, much more involved. Klal Yisrael wasn't ready to accept that. Nasa v'nishma, there needed to be compulsion. There they needed to be forced. Like we emphasized last week, in the Medrash's way, certainly not to walk away thinking that, okay, so our approach to Torah Shebaal Peh is supposed to be one of, hey, we were forced to accept this, what can we do? Like we were saying last week, of course, the only reason Klal Yisrael felt that way in the toil and the difficulty is because they hadn't tasted what it feels like to do the toil and difficulty. They hadn't had that yet. Right? Okay, Torah Shebaal Peh is going to involve all this toil, all this hard work, and you haven't had it yet. We shy away from toil. We shy away from hard work. So we have to be forced. But once we have it, and we're osek in Torah, so it's geshmak. That's the Medrash's way. But I wanted to talk about the Maharal's answer to this question. Maharal is also bothered by this question. He knows that the Medrash Tanchuma and Tosfos already gave answers. But the Maharal says a different thing. Maharal says a big yesod, a tremendous yesod. The Maharal says that if Kabbalah Satorah, if the story would have been that Hashem asks us, do you want to accept the Torah? And we say, Nasa v'nishma, and Hashem gives us the Torah. That would have been the entirety of the story. So we would have been left with a mistaken impression that, it could have gone either way. Okay, so, we said Nasa v'nishma, we happened to accept the Torah. That's very nice. If we wouldn't have accepted the Torah, it also would have been okay. Whatever, it just so happens we said yes. The Maharal says that the yesod that Hashem wanted to convey by holding the mountain over our heads, even though we had already willingly accepted the Torah, was to let you know it's good that you made that choice, but there was no choice. If you would have said no, that would have been the end of everything. Right? Don't walk away feeling that because Klal Yisrael made the decision that they did, so okay, so everything's fine. Had it gone the other way, it also would have been fine. Yes, no, no. Either way, would have been fine. That's wrong. If the entire story would have been, do you want the Torah Nasa v'nishma? We would have been left with that mistaken impression. We wouldn't have appreciated the centrality of Torah to Klal Yisrael, the centrality of Kabbalah Satorah to the entire world. We would have thought, okay, we said yes, very nice, right? That's not true. So even after we said Nasa v'nishma, Hashem held the Torah over our heads, not because we needed to be forced, we already accepted it, but to make us realize that there was really no other choice. It's good that you chose the right thing, but there really was no other choice. Right, the Gemara there goes on. The next Gemara, the Gemara talks about the fact that Vayer Vahivoker Yom Hashishi. Right, the Gemara speaks about the fact that in Brias Olam and Parshas Bracious, the sixth day, Friday, whatever, is preceded with Hey, this Hey idea, the sixth day. The Gemara says, referring to Kabbalah Satorah on the sixth day of Sivan, that everything was waiting, the entire Bria was contingent upon Klal Yisrael accepting the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan. And that's what Hashem was trying to convey by holding the mountain over our heads, is to make us realize how fundamental this was. It needs to be this way. There's no other choice. The Torah has to be. I think that the message, there's a lot of things you could do with this Maharal, but one of the messages for sure is to make sure that we relate to Torah with a proper degree of importance, proper degree of centrality in our day-to-day lives. How do you think about the way you frame your life, how do you live your life, when you think about what you do, how you spend your time. So I think for many people, so our life is our life. We have all these other goals, pursuits, whatever, all these things that we're busy with, pursuing, trying to do, trying to achieve. And when a mitzvah presents itself, so we do the mitzvah. Okay. You're supposed to daven? Fine, I'll daven. Okay, I have a little bit of time to learn. Okay, I'll learn a little bit. But like Lamaisa, my life is about other stuff. My life is about other stuff. Okay, a mitzvah presents itself. Okay, if I'm supposed to, if I have to have bread, I'll wash and I'll bench. No problem. But my life is not about Avodas Hashem. My life is not about Torah. My life is about other things and whatever. And I fit in a mitzvah when it presents itself. Right? The idea that the entire Klal Yisrael, the entire world would have ceased to exist if not for Kabbalah's Torah, should generate a totally different attitude to everything that we're doing. It's not like we have these lives and we have all these different things. We're like all the other people, but we just happen to have these other obligations that seem to pop up from time to time, and I comply with them because God said so. It's supposed to be that the Torah becomes the focal point of everything. It's the axis around which everything else revolves in your life. Right, Rashi, the famous Rashi at the beginning of Bereishis, right? Bishvil Torah, Bishvil Yisrael, the entire world was created so Klal Yisrael would receive the Torah. That's the purpose of everything. Right? So it can't be that we, the makavlim of the Torah, so we live lives like goyim, basically, whatever, trying to make a lot of money, trying to do whatever it is, trying to have pleasures, enjoyments, whatever. And okay, yeah, the shachar is fine, bench, fine, learn a little bit, okay. That's not right, right? It needs to be that the Torah is the focal point of everything that's going on in our lives. Right, there's a Gemara at the beginning of Brachas. The Gemara there talks about the Brachas that we make on Limud HaTorah, the Birchas HaTorah, Asher Kedishanu Lasok V'Divrei Torah, Asher Bochar Banu. Tosis over there in Daf Yud Aleph in Brachas asks, he wants to know, why is it that we make these Brachas one time in the morning, right, and we don't need to make them repeatedly over the course of the day? He asks from the mitzvah of Sukkah, right, if a person eats in a sukkah multiple times over the course of the day, you make the bracha of Asher Kedishanu Leshei Basukkah, and then if you come back for lunch, you go out, whatever you have things to take care of, come back for lunch, you make the bracha again. Come back for a snack, you make the bracha again. Supper again. Right? By Kabbalah, by Torah, we don't do that. Why don't you make a new bracha by afternoon seder? Make a new bracha by night seder. Right? Why? You should make a new bracha every time you have a hefsik, you go to lunch, whatever, take a break, take a nap, whatever, come back to lunch, you should make the bracha again. Why would Chazal Masakein that one bracha is sufficient when it comes to Birchas HaTorah? Tosus asks. So Tosus explains that Torah is fundamentally different from every other mitzvah. You have it also by tefillin. If a person puts on tefillin a second time in the day, you decide I want to put on tefillin again today, you make another bracha. Right, by a person makes a bris here in Eretz Yisrael, the brisin are usually not attached to davening shacharis like they are in Chutz Laretz. So the Avi HaBen davens, whatever, then an hour and a half later, he's putting on tefillin again for the bris, you make the bracha again. It's a new thing. It's a new mitzvah of tefillin. You're putting it on again. Right? Why were Chazal not misaking like that? When it comes to Talmud Torah, they weren't misaking like that. Why not? So Tosfos over there says, Torah is different. Eino miyayish daito. It's because yayish, right? Eino miyayish daito. A person is never miyayish from Torah. The chol shah adam mechuyev lulmod. A person's always obligated to learn. Veheve kimo yoshev kol hayom bul yafzik. It's as if you're sitting the entire day without being mafzik. That's what it's like. That is to say, Tosis is saying that Chazal understood, and the dinim of Birchas HaTorah were supposed to manifest that a person is never totally abandoning the idea of getting back to his learning. Is this if you're sitting, I'm getting back to it, I'm coming back to learning, right? What does that mean? What does it mean? Even a person is working, he's doing other things over the course of his day, he's going to school. What does that mean that he's getting back to his learning? You don't need another bracha. There was no hefsik. What does that mean? What does Tosis mean? So, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, He explains his Tosis by saying there's two different types of awareness, right? He says there's something called an acute awareness, and there's like a latent awareness. Those are the phrases that he uses, acute and latent. Right? Acute awareness means that that when you're busy with other things, you're actually thinking about the fact that, oh wow, I have to get back to learning. That's not what Tosis is talking about, right? When you're working, when you're going to school, okay, so you're not actively thinking about it. But there's this latent understanding, I need to be learning. Okay, I have these other things I have to take care of. I have to go to work, and I have to go to school, and Hashem wants me to do that too. It's all, but I have to get back to my learning. Like, there's a latent understanding that that's true, and Chazal thought that was enough to view your learning over the course of the day as one continuous thing. There's no need for another bracha. You come back to learn. You've been learning the whole time, right? You've carried with you this latent awareness. I have to get back to my learning. By sukkah, you don't have that. That's not true. By sukkah, you have to. If you eat again, so you go back to your sukkah, right? Learning is a constant obligation. It's supposed to be constantly enveloping you all the time, right? The same way he compares it to a latent awareness, right? A person knows that he exists. You don't have to walk around the whole day thinking, "I exist. I exist." You don't need to do that. You know that you exist. So that's what Talmud Torah is like. It's like, I exist. You know that you exist. You don't have to actively think it, right? Our relationship, Chazal understood that our relationship to Talmud Torah is like, I exist. You know that. I have to get back to my learning. What do you mean? That's what life is about. It's like about getting closer to Hashem, understanding my learning better. I need to get back. I have all these other things I have to do. Fine. And not to be, okay, I have to engage in those things and engage in them, you know, with all of your effort and all of your might and all of your strength, 100%. But I need to get back to my learning. Right? This is the kind of things we're talking about. This idea where Torah is playing the central role in your life, right? Here it's embodied in the halacha itself. This is not something that's, you know, tangential. Okay, if it's a little bit, I'll bench. Why not? I'll wash my hands. I'll make a bracha. That's what your life is about, right? The Rav Kuperman Zatzal, he's the Rav who started Michlala, and he used to say that the Torah needs to permeate your life, not punctuate your life. Right? That's mamish the nekuda. That encapsulates everything that I'm trying to say. Right? Torah doesn't punctuate your life. You have all this other stuff. Every once in a while, there's a comma, there's a period, there's a question mark. That's not Torah. It's permeating. Everything is animated by your desire to become a better Eved Hashem, do more mitzvahs, learn more Torah, know more Torah. Of course, you have all these other things. You have to be a husband and a father and work. But all of that is in the framework of Avodas Hashem. You know, very often, you know, guys come to yeshiva and, you know, they rightfully see a tremendous amount of growth. Let's say before they came to yeshiva, they didn't go to minyan bichlal. And now they come to yeshiva, they're going to minyan regularly 3 times a day, no problem. And they see that as a tremendous accomplishment. And it is. That is a tremendous accomplishment. But sometimes it can lead to this mentality whereby a person sort of relates to his minyan going, if you will, as sort of like checking in with Hashem in the morning and in the evening. You have mincha marav at night, it's sort of quick, no problem. Chakras in the morning, right? You check in with Hashem, and the rest of the day, you're doing your stuff, right? That's punctuation. There's a question mark, the question mark at the end, there's a period, whatever, there's a comma, right? At the beginning, at the end of the day, whatever, capitalize the beginning of the paragraph, whatever. It's punctuation. It's not be'etzem. The rest of my day, I'm like everybody else. I'm on the train, I'm going to work, I'm trying to make a lot of money, make a name for myself. I'm an Eved, okay, check in with Hashem in the morning, check with Hashem in the evening, check in with Hashem at the, you know, Leil Shabbos with my family. But be'etzem, I'm like everybody else. That's punctuation. That's not something about which we would say that if not for Kabbalah Satorah, the entire world would have stopped existing. It would have been our burial place. There's no kiyum to Klal Yisrael. There's no kiyum to the whole world, right? That type of a thing, it shouldn't be a punctuation approach, right? Stam, what does that mean, right? How does a person who's in the permeate mindset, how does that person go to school? How does that person go to work, right? That person means that over the, if you're traveling to school, traveling to work, what are you listening to? How are you spending your time on the way to school, on your way to work? What are you looking at on your way to school, on your way to work? Are you trying to make sure that you don't see things that are inappropriate, that don't comport with what an Eved Hashem should be doing? Right? I left Hashem in shul. I daven shacharis already. Hashem's in shul. I'll check in with him at the end of the day. Right now, I'm like everybody else. I look freely at whatever I want to look at. I think about whatever I want to think about. I don't need to be using my time. I don't need to be using my time properly on the train, probably on the bus, whatever else. I'm like everybody else right now. I'll check in with Hashem at the end of the day. Right? When you get to work, when you get to school, how do you speak to the other students? How do you speak to the other colleagues at work? Do they understand there are certain topics that, you know, you as a from person, as a representative of Hashem, doesn't talk about? Are there certain words that they realize that you don't use? Or you're like everybody else, you know, go to the water cooler and talk to everybody else about all the crazy topics they like to talk about, and they realize that you're no different. Because, Hashem, I'm going to go back to shul later. It's fine. Right now, I'm like everybody else. Right? How do you conduct yourself in the workplace? How do we think about our vacations? You know, a lot of times people relate to Avodas Hashem in one way when they're in the sort of the regular scheme of day-to-day life. And on vacation, all of a sudden, like, minyan doesn't matter anymore, learning doesn't matter anymore, tznius doesn't matter anymore. Our kashrut standards are somehow diminished when we go on vacation. Right? The idea that it's this punctuation model where it doesn't permeate, I'm on vacation, doesn't apply. Right? All of a sudden, the standards go out the window because right now I'm on vacation. Vacation from what? Vacation from what the entire world depends on? You're having a vacation from that? How can you have a vacation from that? That's not shy. You can have a vacation from work, you can have a vacation from school, that's fine. You can't have a vacation from what your entire life depends on, what the entire world depends on. All of a sudden, kashrus is not as important. You're lowering your standards. You're going places where you're going places and seeing things that you shouldn't be seeing, or going places where you're not going to have a minyan, you're not going to have the ability to learn. It's going to be a totally foreign environment. Is that really what you need in order to get the break that you need? You have to go to such a place? And what does that mean for your kids? Your kids going on vacation to places where, like, all of a sudden the standards drop. Again, the kids are little, they don't hop these things. As they get older, they're like, what does that mean? Are these really standards, or are they not? What does that mean? That the week at the end of January, the week at the end of December, all of a sudden standards don't apply that week? What does that mean? Right? When a person lives in a punctuation framework, not only is it true that it's a problem, the etzem, but the punctuation itself becomes a shaila. Because, like, even when we're doing it, I guess it's not so chashuv, because whenever we feel like it, we just chuck it. Right, whenever it suits our purposes. Right now we need to be on vacation. I can't be bothered. So then all of a sudden I'm willing to eat that. I'm willing to see that. I'm willing to not have that in my day to day schedule. If it was really crucial, if it was really what the world depends on, how do you forego it for 2 weeks? What does that mean? How could that be? Right? It's super confusing to kids. Super confusing to kids, right? Is it true that my parents really care about all this stuff? So how come on vacation everything changes and all of a sudden our standards are dropping? Maybe another big example of this, I think, in Chutz Laretz is how we treat our Sundays. What's Sunday? You know, how do we treat our Sundays? Sundays is like 14% of your life, Sundays. It's a big thing, Sunday. Right? It's a big deal, Sunday. You know, the idea that since it's Sunday, I don't have school, I don't have work, so what do? You know, make sure I do absolutely nothing productive. That is my goal on Sunday. If you start doing something productive, stop yourself right away. It's Sunday. You're not supposed to do productive stuff. Right? That's from a punctuation framework. Adarabha, Sunday should be the greatest opportunity to try to fill in learning, things that you weren't able to accomplish during the week. Spend time with your wife, spend time with your kids. Make sure that you're using that time in a wise fashion. Where in yeshiva, there's no Sunday. Okay, Sunday doesn't exist, right? But what about Friday and Shabbos? How do you relate to Friday and Shabbos? Right? Just, again, to say that you don't need a break on Friday and Shabbos, I'm not saying that at all. But to come to Friday and Shabbos with hefkerus, it's hefker, it's complete hefker. These 2 days, right? Thursday night, whatever, see you Sunday morning, shalom. Friday and Shabbos don't exist. What does that mean? You're in a punctuation framework even in yeshiva. Person should cheshbon out. I need to take a break. I need to relax. I can't learn Friday morning. No problem. If you come to that conclusion, it's fine. But not, it shouldn't be hefker. See you Sunday morning. It's not a mahalach. That's not a thing. Right? If it permeates your life, Friday and Shabbos are also days of the week where you have to be trying to fill in whatever you can, become the best Eved Hashem you possibly can. A couple of years ago, we went to Bnei Brak. We saw Rav Zilberstein, and basically, he spoke to us, gave us a Musar Shavuos about Friday and Shabbos. That was the whole thing. I mean, it was very gentle. He was smiling the whole time. That's what he does. But the entire talk was about Friday and Shabbos. Learning on Friday and Shabbos, chazering on Friday and Shabbos, and maintaining continuity in your growth and your learning, not having like 60-hour breaks every week. Thursday night till Sunday morning is 60 hours. Nothing. Right? Nothing. Zero. Empty. Vacuous 60 hours. How could that be? That's 168 hours in the week. If 60 of them are vacuous, you just lost a significant fraction of the week. Right? That's a major issue. But in a punctuation framework, and even in yeshiva, you can be in a punctuation mindset. Right? Yeah, there's more punctuation in yeshiva than there is if you're working. Yes, there's more punctuation. But the idea is to get into this permeate mindset, where the Torah is permeating everything that I'm doing. It affects my decisions on Friday. It affects my decision on Shabbos. It affects my vacation decisions, my Sunday decisions. Everything revolves around the same concept and the same ultimate goal. Also, you know, it applies, I think, just another one more example, perhaps, is in the summer. Whenever you're leaving your regular framework, your like yeshiva framework, how do you make your decisions about the summer? What happens for the 3 weeks that you go home before you start your summer program? What's going to be in those 3 weeks? How do you relate to them? Well, I'm on vacation. What does that mean? You're going to bum around for 21 days, do absolutely nothing, right? Or almost nothing? You have to set, again, a person needs structure, so you have to set up structure for yourself. Don't allow yourself to wallow in an unstructured environment for a protracted period of time. That's also a punctuate mahalach, right? Again, it's supposed to be all the time, all the time. It's always trying to figure out, how can I become a better Eved Hashem, push myself more in my Eved Hashem? Again, it doesn't mean, I just say over and over again, it doesn't mean that a person shouldn't take breaks and a person shouldn't figure out when they need to relax and when it's too much Iyun or too much Bekiah, so whatever the thing is. But everything should be with a Cheshbon. Everything should be Cheshbon now. Think about it. It's not just, well, it's Sunday, so see you on Monday. It's Thursday night. See you Sunday morning. Like, that's not a thing. You have to be cheshbening all the time. What can make me into a better Eved Hashem? Right? When you're Mirz Hashem, when you're married, you have these decisions to make. Should I be learning? Should I be spending time with my wife, with my kids? What should I be doing? Or should I just be, you know, sitting on a couch and looking at the wall? I need to just space out right now. That's also okay. As long as you think that that's what you need. It can't be a matzav of hefkerus where I'm trying to punctuate my life with Avodas Hashem, and then I have all these blocks of time where, like, this is not Avodas Hashem time, whatever. Right? We have to relate. We have to make sure we relate to it that way. We're taking Hashem with us wherever we go, and every decision that we make, we're trying to make sure that all of our decisions are based on this idea that if you wouldn't be makabel the Torah, sham te'ekfur aschem, like it's over, it's game over. Right? If it's not true that the Torah is helping you make all the decisions in your life and making sure that you're becoming the biggest person you possibly can be, so then sham te'ekfur aschem. Like it wasn't optional, it wasn't by your own volition. It happened to be Na'aseh v'nishma, very nice Na'aseh v'nishma. You should know, there was no other choice. And if there was no other choice, that means that every time you stand before some sort of a decision, some sort of a decision to make about how I'm going to spend my time in this context, in that context, what am I going to do, how am I going to conduct myself when I'm going to work, coming back from work, at work, in school, whatever, right? All of those decisions need to be made with this idea of Sham Tehek Furaskam. Like, my life is about Avodas Hashem, becoming the biggest person possible. And if that would be true, if that would be what's animating our decisions, we'd end up in a much better place.